Let's chat about the ways that we have been effective with our time management, maybe the ways that we could improve on it,
yeah.
And learning moments,
yeah,
ideas, things that have worked for us. Probably works.
Because in college, like I did time management via friends. Because like the people I hung out with were either in my major or like in the fraternity. So I would like, or my roommates need to go study, so I would go study with them. Or my roommates were in the chapter and had to go to chapter meeting, so I would go with them. So it's like we did time management by committee. Hmm. And then obviously there's like the aspect of like your roommate might not be in the same classes or doing the same homework as you. But once I got to the library, I'm like, okay, I know these are my assignments. These are when they're due. I'm going to do them in this order.
Did you actually get anything done at this library? Were you on the second floor?
Yes.
Where everyone just walked and you just saw everyone, you know, and there's no shot. I had to go to the basement or third floor was the key.
So
it's kind of scary up there.
I would go to the second floor, but I tried to get one in like the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't in like the main walkways, but I don't know. I think I went with people who were going there with the same goal. So we got distracted at times, but we were all still there to get it done.
Yeah.
And I would like, I just remember like going through our chapter and like people who had bad grades had to get like study hours. And so I remember one member is like, I'm an art student. Like, I can't study in the library. Or there's people who don't study well in the library. And I'm like, that's a great way to look at it. Like, why are we forcing someone to go study in the library if that's not even, like, the best way for them
right
to study? But, yeah, that's kind of, like, how I did time management. Like, I kind of had a planner, but I don't know. I just organized my life more back then well enough that I didn't need a planner.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is when you're a college student, you learn time management skills without even knowing, because you have to go to class, yep. Right? And to be successful in college, you can't just like, you know, maybe go to class every now and then. Like, no, there's classes that if you miss it, you're going to fail. Like the teachers like take attendance, versus high school where you're kind of forced to go. Like if you don't go, then it's just your parents are getting notified by the school and all that. You don't have to go into it, but you're learning how to do time management without actually knowing. And then you will get a reality check when you miss a class. And then it was like a really important class that you should have been on. But so you're getting the basics down, but of course it does help to have people around you that are doing similar things as you. So,
well, like now that I think about it, like I don't really think there was like a lot of actual homework in college.
Really?
Or if it was like a group project. So you were working with classmates and that kind of has a time management aspect of it, because then you're going to set up time to all work together. And obviously if you're a well-achieving student, you're probably going to migrate towards working with high-achieving students as well. So time management is probably a strong suit for all of you. But yeah, I feel like going to class, it was like they told you chapters to read. And then at the end of the chapter, there's X number of problems. And they said, like, oh, here's the ones you should do. But you never had to turn them in.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's true, yeah. So it's more of like studying. I remember we had one class I took, we had to read the Wall Street Journal, and the instructor the day, like the next day, would say, okay, it's time, quiz on the Wall Street Journal, and he would pick a random article in the Wall Street Journal, and he would have us, obviously we'd have to read it to know the answers to this thing. So I'd say that's kind of homework, but at the same time, it's not like I don't know, there's not a lot of structure to it. It's just so random.
Yeah. Well, because I worked orientation, and parents would always ask me, like, what's your best advice to like help my child do well in school? And I would like when I think it was when I was like going through the training to be an orientation leader, they said looking at a classroom and there's like the bell curve, and that kind of distinguishes like the seating chart for the grade. So if you're in the front or in the middle, you're going to do well. But the kids who sat in the back corners are the ones who aren't really going to pay attention. And then I also just said, like, go to class because you're probably going to get 80% of the information you need for a test in class. And then the other 20% is like reading the textbook. And then just when you go to class, actually go to learn and not sit in the back on your computer. Other than that, like college shouldn't be that hard.
Depends on the major.
Yes. Because I'm going, well, yes, but I would still think going to class and sitting in the front, regardless of your major, you have a higher probability of doing well.
Yeah. I just think of like healthcare, if you're like a nurse or
Oh, yeah.
dental high, oh man, there's no shot. I would flunk out immediately. That's why I went business.
Yeah.
My brain doesn't operate on that capacity.
Yeah. But
But
yeah.
Jeremy,
Yeah.
you've been in your career for
Oh,
a few
Jesus.
years now.
Yeah. 7,
7 years.
which is
So
so weird.
I know, I think about, I've been in for 5 and it's just insane to me, but you've been able to learn, of course you went through your first year of outside of college, and then you went through your second, third, fourth, fifth. What are some things that have helped you manage your time and just keep track of things that you have going on in your life, both work and and personal?
So it took me a really long time to learn that the college time management doesn't translate the best, or didn't translate the best for me from a career and just life standpoint. But what I've like started to do more now is like write down to-do lists. And I think I always had that. Like I've always had a to-do list of things that I needed to like focus on. The aspect of college that I would say transitioned well, or was one thing I'm glad I kept doing, was like always taking notes in meetings, because it keeps you engaged in the meeting, and I think you leave the meeting with more retained knowledge than if you just sit there and like don't take notes or anything.
100%.
But now, as of recently, I have started to have my to-do list, but then each day, or I'd probably now phrase it this way. I have a project list and a to-do list. And the project list is everything I need to do, whether it's today, tomorrow, or it's due in a month. And my to-do list is what am I going to do today? And I set that out every morning to say, here are the three things, four things, or maybe it's one thing that I'm going to get done today. I learned quickly that your work life is just like real life, that within 2 hours of your workday, that thing could be blown up because a fire drill happened. But that's fine. You just then look at your to-do list for that day and say, okay, I can push this one till tomorrow.
Right.
And
so you focus, you'd say you focus more on the, and this is what I do as well. You say you focus more on the high important tasks, the things that need to get done that day, preferably high importance and high impact, not high importance and most urgent. You know, you want to be working on the ones that are actually going to move the, or make the biggest difference.
Yep.
Would you say that's how you follow it?
Yeah. And it one, helps you like prioritize your day. And then two, it kind of lets you know how long of a day it's going to be. And you should also try to put kind of like a suggested amount of time you expect that task to do. Because if you, it's good to do the process that I'm doing, but if you think it's only going to take an hour and you write down it's going to take an hour and you're now 2 hours into it, you might want to step back and be like, what happened for this to take longer than I thought it would?
Yeah.
So that has been helpful as well, of going that route. Is that kind of the way you go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have. So I've been kind of going on and off of, you know, handwritten to-do lists. And then I figured out, okay, I have 40 projects that I'm managing at any given time. There's no way I can do this on paper. So I use Todoist. And then Todoist is cool because you can have projects, you can have projects in there. And then in each project, you can have individual tasks. And then you can start to schedule the tasks based on when they're due. Like tomorrow, if I need to do it today, or tomorrow, you know, if I need to do it today, I can schedule that. So then there's a view that you can see all the tasks that you scheduled for today. Yep. So I immediately go, actually at the end of the day, I go through what I got done that day, and kind of organize what I want to do tomorrow. And then I write down what I want to do tomorrow on like a, it's probably like a 3-inch wide by 8-inch tall kind of post-it note type deal.
Yep.
That's just a list format. And then I write down the most important things that if I get done that day, I will have a good day. Right. So I have that. And then I do it every day, and it's worked really well for me. There's some small nuances to it, but it's being, just having a to-do list in general is it's, I don't know how people operate it without it.
It's
at least in the business world.
Yeah. And I don't know the psychology around it, but it's like, it's also like satisfying for your mind to cross something off your to-do list. And it kind of like helps you truly recognize that this task is done.
Yeah.
But I was asking my mentor the other week, I'm like, how do you prioritize in like time management? And he talked about like the aspect where I was doing of saying like, here's what I'm going to get done today, and here's how long I expect it to take. But he said, then I kind of break that, say, hour into what, like, if it's a presentation, it's going to be like, okay, how much of this hour that I'm going to spend on it is going to be making the presentation, like putting it together, making it look nice, to how much time am I going to spend reviewing it, so when I actually go to present it, I actually know and have that aspect of it. And that was something I never really thought of, because it kind of helped me view a thing that I just got used to doing because my old manager, like, it's how she worked, and I just had to work with her so much that it just became second nature to me, of like, she always wanted everything to look as if it's going to be presented. So just every single thing I worked on, like, I took the extra time to make it look pretty in Excel. And then after a while, I'm like, my VP literally just asked me to pull this data from like out of our system. But I just spent 20 minutes making it into this nice table, and he probably didn't even need it to look that nice. So it's like I just wasted 20 minutes that I could have been focusing on other things. So right. Now, he, like, talking to my mentor about that, it made me start to think of, like, when I go to start a task, I think about what quality does this need to be? If it's literally just a question of they're asking, hey, what's the percent on this? Like, I don't need to put this in a fancy table. I can just pull it out, send it to them. Or, oh, they're asking this question, but I'm going to guess that they might be meeting with other people and it might get like brought up. So maybe it should look somewhat nice.
Yeah.
So it's literally just drilling deeper into your to-do list. That's probably going to make you better prepared.
Yeah. There's I'm learning from one of my mentors at the company I'm with that, you don't need to write out an email that's like four paragraphs or five paragraphs with all the words and all the information. Give the basics, give the most important pieces. And if they want to, if the recipient wants to learn more or wants more information, they'll tell you.
Yep.
But get the most important things across, because people don't have time to sit through it and read an email for 20 minutes.
Yep.
They have maybe 2 minutes to skim through the key points, especially if they're executives. And you need to make sure that whatever's in those, you know, in the first pieces of this email, it's got to be critical stuff.
I've even started to make like templates for like requests I've like started to get more of.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a fake high level example of like a request I would get is like my salesperson will be like, hey, I want to run this promotion on this cereal at X like department store. And it's like, okay, I can run a return on investment for you, but I'm going to need these data points. And it's like the first time sending it an email, but then it's like, okay, I'm going to see that this is probably going to be a request that's going to happen a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to build out this template to say, hey, when you have another request like this, here are the data points I'm going to need. Mm-hmm. So just populate this and send it to me, because then we don't have to do this back and forth.
Yeah.
And another thing I've done is like, if it's, well, in today's working world, it probably just applies to everything, but it's like, if you are going back and forth on an email with someone, I'd probably say if it's like, once you've hit three replies back and forth,
mm-hmm.
it's probably better to get up and walk across the office if they're in the same office as you.
Yeah.
Or pick up the phone / in today's world, press call on Teams and talk through it than just going on these like back and forth of emails. And it's like, oh, well, this person's now in a meeting. Now it's tomorrow. And it's like, okay, we could have just spent 20 minutes on a phone call and avoided all of these back and forth on the emails.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I would just say it's automating your life is what time management is.
I would agree.
Speeding everything up and trying to make it more structured is going to help people.
So I've got a few rapid fire ideas to run past those that are listening. And then when I'm talking through this, Jeremy, if you want to put together some rapid fire for yourself too, that would be good. I think give as much value as we can. So some things that I've learned for time management that have helped me a ton are, of course, everyone's heard of time blocking, but I think it's something to try. Not, it doesn't work for everybody, but having an hour blocked off, I have it, hopefully people from work don't listen to this, but I have it from 1 to 2 o'clock. So it's not, I don't have a meeting then, but it's just work time. Like if I have meetings all day, I can't get anything done. So as long as I have that hour saved, I'm good. Normally I have more time than that, but some days get hectic. So I just try to have that time set aside. So time blocking is huge. And when you're in meetings with people, next one is be conscious of people's time. So when you are in a meeting with an executive or even with maybe some like a peer of yours and you have 30 minutes set aside, don't go over that 30 minute time. Be so conscious of your time and bring an agenda so that you cover the most important pieces. Otherwise, you're going to get to go to, it's going to go to 45 minutes and it's going to just waste time. So being really succinct, and especially with meeting with executives, if you have if you I set an alarm usually for 5 minutes to go, or I just check the clock or my watch, and I'd make sure to not go over because it's just a sign of respect.
Yeah.
And it also saves their time too. So next thing is work on things that are important, are most important. So like we talked about, having a to-do list and prioritizing the things that are most important that'll make the biggest difference. There's a book called Eat That Frog or Eat the Frog by Brian Tracy. And it talks about right away when you get to work or when you sign in, if you work from home, work on the biggest, most important thing that you need to get done that day. And then, just get that out of the way and focus on that. A lot of people work on the things that are the easiest or that are the quickest to get done, but you got to work on the big things right away because that's when your brain is sharper. Second to last one is called essentialism, and this is not working on the things that will steal a lot of your time and that aren't like focused, that aren't part of your role or part of your job. And it's so tough to do, but you have to be pretty savage with the things that you work on if you want to make a huge, huge difference. So something to look into, it's called essentialism. I think the author is his last name's McCone, I think. I don't know his first name, but I'll find it once when Jeremy's going through his. And then the last thing, okay, the last one is to cut back on instant answers. So we all get that urge when you have an email, you have your email up, and then you have got an email from like an executive or a teammate of yours or your boss, and it's like, hey, when you have a chance, could you send this over? And then you're like, hey, I might as well do it now. It's like, no, don't do that. I try to keep my email shut and look at it maybe once every 2 hours. And if there's something that's super critical, somebody will send me a Teams message and say, hey, can you work on this quick? I don't want to live in my email. Email is not something that I just want to be so reactive to other people to always live on other people's agendas. I want to do my own thing then. And when I have some open time, I'll check email. And then I'll prioritize things accordingly. But you gotta be a savage of your time in order to be effective in today's world because there's so many things going on, so many distractions. So that's it for me. It's a lot of words, but hopefully it was helpful.
I would say I do most of those, and there's all of them probably sound like things that would be worth switching to or adding. I would say the one I do the most is like the blocking my calendar to give
You
me
block all eight to five, right? You just block it the whole day.
some days I do because I'm just like, this is going to be a rough day and I just need to focus. And I got this advice from my current manager was if you true like when I'm working from home, I can like you have that aspect of no one can stop by your desk and like ask you that quick question. But it's like if you're in the office and you need to get work done, like literally book a conference room and go in there. 'Cause then you're not gonna have those people coming by and people are gonna walk by your desk like, oh, I guess whatever they're doing is important, so I can't bug them right now. Which I need to start doing, I prefer having more monitors at my desk, so it's like,
You gotta get a like a hotel office or something.
I would say the bullet points I would have are probably more towards productivity, but like they say you should you should only focus on something for 45 minutes and then like get up or take like a break and look at your phone. Like you will be more productive if you take those small quick breaks and being like, I'm gonna get this done in 3 hours, where it's like you can probably still get it done in probably maybe 2.5 hours if you take a 10-minute break or something and like make sure that your mind's always being refresh working on it. I would agree with your thing of like focusing on the essentials first. I kind of view it as like I'd rather get all of the hard stuff that I don't like to do out of the way first. So then at the end of the day, when you're probably more drained, you can do the stuff that you enjoy and might not take as much mental capacity. Getting up and just walking around, because it's good for your health and that break aspect. This is something that I don't want to say I hated, but I was just like, it gave me anxiety when like I would be like in a meeting with my manager and then like her Outlook thing would pop up and it's like 60 things over like overdue, but it's really like she's putting her to-do list on her Outlook to say, here are the things I'm going to get done for the day. And she's just like snoozing it until it's officially done, which I'm like, at first I'm like, oh, that would drive me crazy. But now I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense. 'Cause then it's constantly reminding you like, hey, here's like the things that you need to work on. So I actually might start moving towards that. So it was interesting that I'm like, that sounds awful. I'm like, oh, now that I think about it that way, like that's not a bad idea.
You wanna know what really bothers me now? Okay,
What?
I follow the inbox zero. Have you ever heard of that? So it's essentially like not ha when emails come in, you check your email and you don't just leave the email in there. You organize it. If it's something you need to do, but you can't do it right away, you put it into the action, like an action needed folder. And if it's something that's just like someone's telling you an FYI, you just like archive it. So you keep a your inbox is just blank. And you keep it super clean. So at the end of the day, you have everything kind of, organized. It's so nice to have that system set up because I used to have like a bunch of emails in there and it used to get super overwhelming. So.
So I kind of do that, except my inbox only houses the things I haven't touched yet. So it's kind of like my queue. And then once I've completed something, I mark it as unread slash replied, and then I then organize it into a folder to what it pertained to. So my inbox is never zero, but it's more of like these are the things that are in my queue that I need to work on at some point. Before I used to like if it was a monthly task, like I just had it on my to-do list always at the top, but now I've moved to putting it on like the actual day I need to do it. So if it's like the first of the month, on the first of the month, I get my calendar reminder to do it. So I move towards that. But yeah, I would say it's more just making sure meetings stay at a half hour and trying not to go over. But I would move away from work and into like my real life. It's literally just taking what I do at work and now applying it to my life. Obviously, I don't have like an Outlook calendar, but I have my Apple calendar, but like I have a to-do list and I also set tasks for myself to say, here's what I'm going to do and get done today in my real life versus my work life. So I wouldn't say when it comes to time management from a non-work perspective, I'm just doing pretty much the same exact things just for things around the house. Like I'm saying I'm planning to do this for 30 minutes or I need to get these tasks done. So not, I would say nothing really too different.
Well, hopefully that was valuable to people listening to this.
Yeah. I would say to wrap up my one advice to everyone is I took this whole week off of work and I haven't checked anything work related and it has been the nicest week ever.
This week?
Yeah.
Dang, man.
Like it, I advise taking mental health holidays.
Yeah.
Because I think it, will then just make me more fresh when I go back to work. And I think like you truly need that break from work and like real life.
Yep. To give an example, this is my advice as well. I'd stay on the same line as that mental health thing. I had a conversation with a teammate today, and he and I were talking, and he's still a student, and he's like, "Yep, when I get out of class, like I come home, and then I basically just hop on and I sign on and for the internship, and it works pretty well." I was like, "Hey, I appreciate you your dedication to it," and like he hops on earlier than he's supposed to. I'm like, "I appreciate you wanting to work and wanting you to put in the effort. But what I'd much rather you do is take time for yourself, take a break. You just got through a long class that's probably a bunch of information. Just sit down, and be mindful and just relax and like take care of your mental health, because you could too easily get into the rat race of just constantly working all the time without reflecting and without like sitting and just kind of enjoying the break you have." So I think mental health is so critical, especially nowadays when there's so many things going on. So if you're someone out there who has a tough time, taking care of yourself, just take a break. It's okay.
Yeah, I think my boss gave me the best advice slash way to look at it is like from that aspect of like, oh, you just got back from class. Like, you should ask yourself, am I going to perform this task better if I do it right now, or if I give myself a 20-minute break to like relax and disconnect and do something else and then get started on it? And the other way my boss kind of phrased it is like, say you get an email at like 8 p.m. and you're like, oh God, this is kind of urgent. You should ask yourself, am I better off staying up late to get this done? Or am I going to be more productive? And is it as urgent as I think it is that I could just do it tomorrow morning? And I was like, that's a good way to look at it because you're putting in the aspect of when am I going to do my best work to perform this said task?
100%.
So, yeah. I advise everyone just like ask people how they do their time management and manage their work life because you're most likely probably going to learn something that you're going to think like, oh, I never thought of it that way. That's either going to help improve yours or give you a new thing you can try.
100%, and not everything is going to work for you. So when
Yeah.
someone says, "Hey, this is what I time block, I do this, I do that," and you try it, it doesn't work. It's okay. You're not broken as a human being. Everyone does things differently. So find what works for you and go all in. And things will change over time too. I mean, you'll do something that'll work for a little bit, and then you'll shift, and it's just how it is. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think that was a good episode for the week.
Hopefully you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Talk to you later.
See ya.
See ya.
Hey, I'm the truth, I'm the truth. I could buy it, but it's just a rental. It's not a good investment. Being bad with your money is being good at flexing. They always chasing a bag, I guess they couldn't catch it. They trying to be like me, but it's not a good impression. I used to get on instrumentals just to get it out my mental. I was handing out my demos and they wouldn't check it. They told me I'd never make it, but now they get the message. That's important information, so I wouldn't text it. They want to get a reply, they want screenshots, but they won't get a response, not even three dots. These sheep talk, no lying, they throwing cheap shots. I had to cut some people off, I had to detox. I keep talking in my head, I got deep thoughts. On the steps where me and Navy did the beatbox. Been old school like Reeboks with knee socks. Corbin know I fuck them up when the beat drops. I'm coming back more level-headed.
This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any decisions, please consult a professional.